I'm Eilif Tronsen, the project leader of the Nordic EdTech Network project funded by Nordic Innovation. I'm here at GSV Labs, a large business acceleration facility in Redwood City, California, in the middle of Silicon Valley, with Barbara Bage, the CEO of the Danish EdTech company WriteReader. The company was just one of eight companies to be accepted into the EdTech Acceleration Program that Intel Education and Intel Capital launched last summer. The Intel EdTech Accelerator is located here at GSV Labs, and just last week, Barbara successfully completed the program. Congratulations, Barbara. And it makes me happy to welcome you to the first in our series of the Nordic EdTech podcast project. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Our conversation will cover four parts. First, I will look briefly back at the history of WriteReader. Then we'll focus on the journey you and your team has been on since you launched. Thirdly, we would like to hear a little bit about your experience here at during your time in Silicon Valley and being part of the Intel Accelerator. And finally, we would look a bit to the future and hear what new opportunities and challenges you see ahead. So let's start a little bit with the history. When did you first launch WriteReader and why?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Edith. So we launched WriteReader in December 2012, and we were three founders. It's Janus Masson, who's been teaching children how to read and write for the past 16 years, myself with a marketing and startup background, and then Ulrich Jensen as a business advisor. 20% of all children in school are functional illiterate, meaning that they are struggling with basic reading and writing skills. And that's in countries, in the first world countries. That's Denmark, that's Sweden, that's England, that's US, even though we shouldn't have any excuse. So functional illiteracy is actually where children are struggling with the basics in their daily lives, reading a menu, reading a sign outside, you know, walking around, struggling in schools, reading a book, you know. So this is a huge challenge. If you think about it, we believe that this is the single biggest challenge, not only within education, but within our whole information society, because the requirements which are needed for children in order to succeed in the future, the 21st century skills, are basically also the basis of that is if children can succeed in reading and writing.
Right, right.
So so Janus, he could see the problem in the classroom as well. He approached me and said, listen, I mean, we have a big problem. And I remember the first meeting I had with Janus, one of the first questions I asked him was that for how long have you been teaching our children to read and write with the method which we are doing, you know? And then he said, like, well, 250 years, like, it was like obvious, you know, like something, you know? So I was like, okay, I'm in, because, I mean, for 250 years, no one has really questioned the way we are teaching our children how to read and write. And coming from a technology background, we are always thinking about how we can disrupt things and make things better. And nobody has asked the question in the educational. So obviously there is room for improvement.
Right. So how did you put together the core team? And has the team stayed together? Or, you know, with most startups, you know, the changes that happen and so on, but have... what has been your experience with that?
Yeah, I think that based on our experience previously also from other startups, we quickly saw that we had a really good team because Jane is coming from the pedagogical background and a great network of schools and teachers, and myself with marketing and startups, we thought that we had a good team. But we needed someone with more robust business experience, and then I actually brought one of my former advisors, which is venture capitalist, and also now he's a business advisor, Ulrich Jensen, in order to kind of streamline the business priorities for us. Because as you know, being a startup, in the first phases, the most important thing is to prioritize what to focus on. Because you have limited resources, you have limited time, so you need to really focus on the right things. And if you can get an experienced resource in who can guide you in the right direction, that adds a lot of value. So we're the same founders, and we're still there. What we have also analyzed that we also lacked technical skills, so we engaged with a partner and brought in on the board level as well a guy with more than 20 years of software development experience, and now we have an outsourced it's our own team based out of Islamabad with 6 engineers.
Great. Okay, let's focus a little bit on the journey. So have you stayed close to the original vision and plan for the company, or have you pivoted a little bit during the journey, which of course is true of most startups, say. They got to a point and then they pivot a bit, and so what has been your experience?
I mean, our mission when we started the company was that we wanted to impact as many children as possible globally, and we wanted to enable children to learn through creation. Because we believe that is the right way to teach children how to read and write. So, interestingly, we launched a iPad application initially onto the App Store in February 2013, because we could see that the schools were buying more and more tablets, especially iPads. So we wanted to test that out. But we had that for like 1.5 years on the App Store, and we quickly became the number one sold iPad application in Denmark, got endorsed by Apple Education, and won some awards, declared the best literacy app in Denmark by the national news media. So we got good traction, but we initially launched the app to the B2C, to parents, so they could support the children even better in the home environment. Mm-hmm. But what we saw was that it was the schools and kindergartens who were actually using it most. So mm-hmm. it was 80% schools and 20% parents. And then we actually pivoted towards, changed our model and say, okay, let's target schools, because the App Store model, there are all sort of challenges of discovery. It's not a sustainable business model if you need to create a startup and scale. It's very little companies who can succeed on the App Store. Then we pivoted towards schools. We made another pro version and integrated with the local learning management system in Denmark. And the same week we did that, we sold 10,000 licenses to the second largest school district in Denmark. So that was, if you ask me, I think that was a turning point mm-hmm. of our little startup, where we say, okay, now this could actually scale. And now we've tested out the market for 1 year. We've alterated the product. The business model didn't seem to work, but now once we changed that selling to schools, we could see, okay, this could actually scale, okay. Not only in Denmark, but also globally.
Right, great. Now, most startup companies have their highs and lows. So what has been some of your highs and lows during the journey so far?
I think that you're absolutely right, you know. So and this is something which you actually think about quite often. The lows is also kind of, you need to have a strong mentality also when you're running a startup, because there are all sort of questions coming on to you. Okay, will it fly? Will it run? What will happen now? How will the market react, you know, and stuff like that. So you have, there are many unanswered questions, right. But being an entrepreneur, you just know you just need to keep going, you know, and testing out different case of scenarios. And if you're just persistent and testing out different things and being focused, eventually you will know what way, you know, to lead the rest of your team, you know.
Right.
So obviously there are a lot of questions. And one of our lows, we actually knew that we had a really great product from the start. Right. The market loved it, the teachers loved it, parents loved it. So we knew that we have something. If we could just only crack the business model or how we could kind of reach to users, then we knew that we could scale it. But the lows were the App Store model doesn't seem to work. Yeah, okay, so good to be number one, you know, but how do you scale an App Store model? You know, you need a lot of marketing money. Doing all sort of app install campaigns and building in the virality, you know, working on conversion rate optimization, you know, so it's a really hard and focused work. But once we changed it to selling it to schools, because the schools are used to buying totally different, they're not only buying from app stores, they have their own systems which they're used to buy, you know, so you need to adapt to that. That's what we learned, you know.
Right. And what kind of outside support players have you had, you know, mentors and so on? Because mentors are a big part of most accelerators. especially during the lows, you know, when you're hitting hard times, having someone to talk to and get some help from. So what has been your experience, both in Denmark and maybe here in the Valley as well?
So I would say that we've been lucky that we have had a lot of good advisors and mentors along the way, you know, because since we had a good network, you know, I was really good and we were really good at, you know, reaching out, asking for help, going to meetups, accelerator meetups, investor networks, and all the other good facilities there are in the Scandinavian market, you know, where you can come and get some advice. And people are really friendly, they're willing to help, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, really means a lot, you know, that you can have somebody who can provide you with input, you know. It's really important for entrepreneurs to get input, but eventually you need to take your own decisions, you know. In Denmark, it was really valuable. Having a board is really valuable because the high-level discussions that are in there, I have learned a lot. And I would like to keep someone in my board where whenever I'm at a board meeting, I'm the one who's learning the most, you know. I mean, that's a good benchmark to have, you know. So if you're still learning from others, then just keep going.
So you have the board. You also have an advisory board.
We don't have an official advisory board.
Okay.
It's just on kind of. I can reach out to someone.
Yeah.
You know, but coming into the U.S., we've had a lot of good mentors, you know, especially lined up by Intel, you know. But we can talk about that.
Right. Yeah. So let's migrate to Silicon Valley experience, since we are here in the middle of Silicon Valley. Why did you decide to come to Silicon Valley, and what were some of the main attractions that you saw here, and was the move a joint team decision or something that you yourself really wanted to do and saw the advantages of?
I wanted to experience more sun. So
yeah, well, I understand that.
So I said, let's go. Actually, we were in a position where we had a good product market fit in the Scandinavian markets, and we saw that this is a scalable product. And we actually made an agreement with one of the largest publishers in the Nordics. So they're taking our product to the school market now.
Right.
Which means that we now have more time to look into other markets. And obviously, we saw U.S. as a great market. I've been here a couple of times before in the Valley. And we wanted to say, okay, let's give it a shot in the U.S. to see how much, you know, we could scale from here. And I think that the best way for a kind of a startup without any notable network is to participate in an accelerator entering a new market. Definitely. I mean, I applied for all of the three largest tech accelerators here, Imagine K-12, Intel Accelerator Education, and Edge out of New York. And we got luckily interviewed by all three of them, you know, and then we ended up with Intel Education.
Great. Now, typically, people have certain expectations, but what is the reality? Has the reality of Silicon Valley been what you expected, or in what ways has it been different from what you expected when you first came here?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, there are a lot of kind of things which we think in the start. You know, because when we're here in the Nordics, especially in Denmark, when you hear about Silicon Valley, it's like investors, it's money, you know, it's hanging on the trees, you know, you just need to fly.
Handing out free money.
Yeah, and you fly back home with a bag full of VC money, you know, and it's great network and stuff like that. So I mean, it is partially right, but it doesn't mean that you can just relax, you know. You need to work even harder. So the more you work harder, the more you network, the more you meet the right people, you will eventually get there, but don't expect that you can just come to the Valley and succeed, because remember that there are coming hundreds and hundreds of companies each week to the Valley from around the world,
right,
who wants to accomplish the same goal,
right?
So it's really tough.
Yeah, so you're now finished with the program here in the Intel Accelerator. So can you say a little bit about what you found to be most valuable in terms of, you know, the experience you gained, and also what might be, especially in terms of what might be most difficult to get in the Nordic, you know, so.
So I would definitely say that for us, it has been a real accelerator. I can benchmark it with, if I came here alone and wanted to establish the same teacher network, school network, district network, network to investors, network to business angels, I would have used years, you know, just in order to get there.
Right.
And what we have done in the past 3 and 4 months through the Intellect Accelerator has been absolutely phenomenal, because they have all the right connections. They can connect you with the right people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real value of running through an accelerator. Yes, you're giving away equity, but that's you get so much more out of it, you know. So I would definitely recommend that because there are a lot of edtech accelerators coming out now throughout the U.S., you know. So because the focus is so much here in edtech as compared to Nordics or the rest of Europe.
Did you look at some of the other edtech accelerators in other parts of the U.S.?
So we wanted to either move to East Coast or West Coast.
Okay.
So we saw a Edge is an accelerator out of New York.
Right.
So we applied for that as well, and then we applied for 2 West Coast.
Okay.
But just during the last year, there are at least 5 to 10 new edtech accelerators in U.S. who have come up, you know, most of them on West Coast, you know, so the opportunities are there. But also when choosing the right accelerator, you need to see what's right for you.
Right, right. So if you were asked to give some advice to other Nordic edtech companies that are considering coming to the Valley and perhaps applying to one of these edtech accelerators or an edtech accelerator elsewhere, what would some of your advice be in terms of what they should think about and what is most important and so on?
Yeah. So first of all, I think that, it might seem as a big step to move to US coming from Scandinavian countries. At least that was for us, you know. But once you're in it, you know, you don't feel that big of a change, you know. Culturally, it's the same, you know. My advice would be just to kind of go into it, you know, wholeheartedly, and just explore, you know, and say, okay, for the next 6 months or next year, you know, we'll just focus on one thing, you know, and try to see how we can scale things, you know, because even though if you are to move back, I mean, the experience which you're gaining, the knowledge which you're gaining, the network, that will keep with you, you know, so you can always benefit from that, you know, and it really kind of opens up your horizon to look at the market which you're in other countries as well, and how they're doing things, you know, and that's a really great experience. So my advice would definitely be that if you don't have much network in the U.S. Or especially in the Valley, apply for an accelerator,
right,
regardless of your stage.
So how do you decide who should come? So
yeah,
typically
yeah,
you have a team,
yeah,
you know, a number of people, and you have some marketing business people, you have technology people. So once, maybe not, you know, it would be difficult and expensive to bring all. So how do you decide that?
Yeah, so our challenge was that we had an okay running business in Denmark, right? And we have some clients in Denmark as well. So, but also, you know, we also knew that focus is really a big thing. So, and also there's a requirement from the accelerators. You actually sign a contract in the start where you say that you will at least be present 2 founders during the whole acceleration period, you know,
okay,
in order to benefit full scale from the program. So you have to sign that contract, and that's actually standard.
Okay.
With two founders or 2 employees of the company should participate. So we have been here like also almost 2. I've been here all the time almost, and Janus, my partner, has also been here over a couple of periods. So we've benefited a lot from it. But when we decided we actually say, okay, Janus can focus on the Danish clients, you know, and I can try to explore more here, you know. So that was basically, but we still worked as a team with only one focus.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. All right, won't take too much more of your time, but let's look at the future a little bit. So, of course, we know the future is always very uncertain,
yeah,
especially now, especially here in the Valley. But and I guess much of your immediate future path will depend on, you know, on your investors and what how much money the investors are willing to put in either here or elsewhere and provide funding for Right Readers. So what do you think lies ahead, and what are some of the driving factors that will determine the future direction and your strategy going forward?
It's a good question. You know, I was actually reminded by LinkedIn a couple of days back that is now, I have 3 years anniversary at White Reader, you know. So I was like, I mean, often, you know, we as entrepreneurs, we often kind of take the time just to step back and just have the holistic overview of what we have achieved, you know, because once you're in it, you actually don't feel that you have achieved something, you know. Because it's like this, you haven't really gotten started yet. And I honestly feel right now that we haven't really gotten started yet, you know. But if I look back, I can remember the first meeting, we had the idea, we developed the product, we got market validation, we got so many awards, we hired 6 people, you know, got revenue, you know, that's huge achievements, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But when, once you're in it, right, you don't feel it as an achievement. You just feel that, hey, nothing's happening, you know. So you need to take the time to just step back and say, hey, this is actually quite good, you know. So I think our challenge is for our company right now would to have focus on our users, make the product better and better, because that is where the success lies, you know. Because if you as a startup have focus on, I mean, our product is literally built in the classroom, you know, because we're mm-hmm. so much in the classroom, and you really need to be where your users are, you know.
So that's
really important. And of course, there's fundraising. You need to ensure that the company also is present in the next 6 months and stuff like that. And that's a full-time process as well. Once I go into funding mode, you know, I don't have time to do anything else, you know. So, but we have a good runway right now. We have a good network. If we can keep focus on the traction and our kind of graphs looks good, I'm positive that we could kind of be successful in raising a round. But even if it doesn't raise a round, I'm also quite sure that we will have an okay company, you know, and then opportunities will come.
So are you looking for funding both here and in the Nordics? And I assume, at least based on what I see, there's more money becoming available, even though in the Nordics it's still not the same as here, particularly when it comes to venture capital or even seed capital. So how do you, you know?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we're looking at funding all over because we consider ourselves as a global company.
Right.
We have users in 40 countries, 110,000 paid users, you know. So we consider ourselves as a global company, and if we can get the funding from here, from Silicon Valley, that will be good. If we can get it from Copenhagen or Stockholm, that will also be good. So we're not ruling anything out. I also think it's important as an entrepreneur not to rule things out, but talk to anyone, you know. And a good rule would be that whenever you talk with investors, the aim should not necessarily be to go in and make a hard pitch and you know, and see if they're willing to invest.
Right.
Always to go in and see, hey, just have the mindset that you want to learn. You know,
right,
you want to get their feedback, because these are people that are doing this day after day. They have really good knowledge, and you want to learn from that knowledge. So whenever you're in the meeting, just note down what were the questions and what were the questions that you were struggling with, because when you move on to the next meeting, you'll make sure that you will answer the right questions, you know.
Well, that's a very important point. And you remember the meeting we had in Kristiansand when Keith Devlin talked?
Yeah, yeah.
And he talked about how many no's he's gotten,
but
the benefit that he gained from all those meetings with the venture guys, he said they're so knowledgeable that just going, even if you don't get any money, you know, if you know how to take advantage of that knowledge that you gain in those meetings, you're going to move ahead. So I remember that vividly. And Keith, of course, is still, he's having success. So I'm going to interview Keith in a future podcast as well. So, final question. You touched upon this a little bit already, but given your, and you have considerable experience now that you have gained as a leader of a Nordic edtech startup, and one that is one of the few that has gotten into a US edtech accelerator as well. So since your adventure started, and what you have learned and so on, what advice would you give to other Nordic edtech leaders about what kinds of issues they should be thinking about and what kinds of action steps they should be considering to take to maximize their chance of success?
So one thing that I have learned for the past 4 months, even more, I knew that focus is important, but when I came here and when we met our mentors and when we, you know, started to really work with our mentors, you know, I mean, I really realized the value of focus being a startup, because there is so much noise going on. you will get so many opportunities, and it will be so much, it's easy just to divert from your original plan, you know.
Right.
But it's about having the focus, and not only, that's not a buzzword saying that, okay, you have to need a focus on strategy, but you need to kind of implement the focus in your daily routines as well, right?
Right.
Like seeing, like, what are you doing today, you know, and has that something to do with the key priorities, or has something to do with something else, you know? So I think that we have greatly benefited from, both on the strategy side, keep a focus on that, but also, you know, more operationally focused, you know. So I think that, and besides that, you know, be very much open to input. It's really good to meet people's mentors, get their advice. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to act on it, but it's really just good to get input from them, you know, because it might be that one of their advice, you know, could be the one thing that you actually are needing, you know, in order to unlock your next level, you know. So that's definitely.
Well, that's one of the things we hope to tap in this Nordic EdTech Network, to connect entrepreneurs who are interested in education, learning, and training to be able to talk to each other and share experiences. I think that's we can all gain from that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you so much, Barbara. It's been great. And we, of course, look forward to following your continued success. And good luck.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Sure, thanks.